And it is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are very blessed and grateful to have Dr. Lori Moore online with us and to talk to us about all the very unique and interesting things that you do. So welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. And I wanted to let you know that a minute before the show started, my cat, Jesse Justin Joy, walked in and plopped himself right by the phone. So I wanted everyone to know that he's going to be involved in this too. He might be saying things to me that I'll pass on.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So what I usually like to do, especially with the first time, is I'd like to go or have you talk about a little bit about your journey. What kind of, you do a lot of different things, and I'd just like to have you talk about sort of what brought you here, how you got here, what started it, and questions will come from there.
Thank you. The basis of my journey has always been love and the following of love, not just love of anything tangible, but a very deep, reverent love for the universe and all of its inhabitants, meaning people, animals, master teachers, elements, insects, etc. I was working as a therapist for a number of years. I had a really thriving private practice. I was beginning to appear on top national talk and news shows, and my focus was relationships, communications between people and people. And I went through a very deepening of the heart personal experience when my kitty cat actually died, and I might go into this in more depth later. I had an experience of him reincarnating, and the tangible evidence that he showed me was just so clear that I couldn't disregard that he had come back. And from that, although my work had always been based on love, my heart just opened up to a much deeper level of wonder, and I began to ask the animals to be my guides. And one after one, different animal species showed up at our house or right by our house, or finally the dolphins and the whales just sent messages but taught me of completely different worlds and ways of communication, which is how I ended up here, taking people on seminars and journeys deeper into their heart through their communication with each other and with the animals and with the masters and with nature and all of life.
Wow. Now, you still do talk about, you know, relationships, because I see that that's kind of still a focus and something that you write a lot about, but you've broadened it then to include messages and using the guides of the animals, is that?
Yes, that's correct. I still do quite a lot of work with people on relationship with each other based on something I've developed called evolved communication, which is a really simple style of communication where we're focusing on intention and sharing and witnessing each other as perfect for who each other is, rather than advising or fixing or trying to change. And people find that in this practice, their heart opens more and more. They awaken to new realities of the universe and their ability to share love and be content with whoever is in their life, in whatever way people are in their life, becomes a lot stronger. My cat, Jesse, just said that it would be important to tell everyone that although when I speak, it may now sound like my journey was easy and simple because I've burned up so much struggle and karma that it feels that way a lot now, that when during the time that he had left and then reincarnated and he was teaching me about unconditional joy, it was very hard for me to learn that because I was very conditioned to think that circumstances were what brought happiness and joy. And he had to work really hard to get me to see that joy is made of joy and it's simply a choice that everyone can tune into. So he just wanted me to throw that in there, so I'm guessing there'll be people listening who will be benefiting by hearing that.
Well, I think a lot of people could benefit from hearing that because it's a difficult transition to make. It's really hard to go from understanding how happiness and joy, where typically throughout our lives, we've always had it conditional on people, on situations, on all sorts of things going on in our lives and attachments to those things. So tell us a little bit about that journey, because I think that's maybe what we need to hear to understand how you transition, because it sounds obviously like you've done a huge shift and probably quite a few years ago. But, you know, what has that been like? And I do want to talk to Jesse, or I do want to hear all about Jesse, because I know that you, there's a definitely a special bond, and I think it is a little bit similar to the one that I have with my new Jasper. So
thank you. I was very devastated when Jesse was eaten, taken by coyotes, and I was driving along in the car one day. I hadn't had a cat since my childhood. I grew up with a little cat who picked me out and lived with me until I went to college, and we were very, very close. So for some years after that, there was no desire in me to have another close companion animal. And one day, kind of spontaneously, I just decided I was going to have a cat. And I stopped by the SPCA on the way home. I had in my mind that I was going to find a little female kitten. But when I walked in, there were lots of cats, and this big, giant, bobcat-looking cat looked at me in a really deep voice. He just said, meow, and looked over at me, and I kind of fell in love with him at first sight. So I went home to get my house ready, get food, get a litter box and everything so I could bring him home. And the next day when I went to the SPCA thinking he would be there, I was looking all over. And they had moved the cats around, so I didn't see him at first. And I thought, oh, maybe it's just not meant to be. And up in the corner I hear, meow. Jesse was looking at me saying, come on, take me home already. So Jesse was quite a teacher for me from the beginning. He caught a bird for me. And I, at this time, was not yet hearing the animal speak. And I was upset for the bird and trying to save the bird. Mm-hmm. Well, this was only about 3 weeks into Jesse moving in with me, and from the first day he moved in at nighttime, he would jump up on my bed and spin in a little circle and mush against me and then, you know, cuddle up with me and fall asleep. And as soon as he caught the bird and I didn't respond in gratitude, he started sleeping outside. Well, now I can see how obvious it was, but I didn't understand, and I didn't even make the connection. And someone had recommended to me to call a woman named Gina Palmer, who later became my animal communication teacher, and she explained that Jesse had basically bought me a wedding ring. And I got all upset. So no sooner do I call Gina Palmer than Jesse comes in with a squirrel, and I understood that this was very significant. At the time, I didn't yet hear the animal, so I didn't know that there had been an agreement between him and the squirrel, that the squirrel was ready to leave the body. But I did know it was a gift. Like, Jesse couldn't go out to the shopping mall and buy something. It was a deep gift. And so I thanked him. I appreciated him. I made a big deal about it. And, of course, he moved right back in. And yeah. So my life with Jesse was just full of learning and richness. And shortly after I had taken him home from the SPCA, it turned out, to my surprise, that he had lots of diseases. He actually had diabetes, hepatitis. It went on and on and on. So I was constantly caring for him in all kinds of ways. And I was always praying that he could have a very healthy body. But no matter how much I did with Eastern, Western, all kinds of help for Jesse, by the time he had gotten to me, he really hadn't been cared for, had veterinarian care. So he had a lot of damage, and he needed this colon operation, and it was just, it was a challenging physical existence for this very happy, loving being. And he ended up getting taken by a coyote and sending me a message that he would be back, that he was coming back. And he told me this was for sure. And this was confirmed to me by someone who, a psychic, who showed up at one of my seminars as a student. And I didn't ask her anything. She just told me my cat had a message for me. And two animal communicators told this to me. So I was looking everywhere for some cat that would be him. And I wasn't finding him. And I was getting more and more sad about missing him. And he sent a message to me that I needed to access my unconditional joy.
Hmm.
And it wasn't because he was setting up this lesson to teach me. It was really just a universal reality that he was living in unconditional joy. And what would magnetize him back to me, just by the rules of the universe, would be for me to vibrate in unconditional joy. And because I really missed him so much, this is what woke me up to listen and stop all my programming and just listen and find that joy that mm-hmm. is there, that was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did...
And how did you do that?
I did it by doing what I've been doing ever since then, which is listening to the world, the guides, the messages of my own heart that are constantly talking to me, and rarely are they speaking in a way that goes along with anything I learned in school, in my society. And every time I follow the guidance of the other worlds that are purely of the heart, magic happens, and life is felt in such a completely different way that all the verification I need and doubt that might get in the way just gets erased over and over. Really, it's like taking a flashlight and noticing that in my own consciousness, in my own energy field, in my body, and all around my body, and deep, deep into my heart, which is connected to everyone's heart and all the oceans and all of life, is everything. And I get to shine the light on whatever part of that I wish to. And when I shine it on the joy, that's what's there, the joy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I've been interviewing a lot of people, and, you know, there are a lot of people like us where, you know, their connection is through the heart. And I think... It's a different path. It's a beautiful path, and it certainly allows for a different expression to come in. And I've recently, you know, connected with other people that, you know, feel that they are very connected through their solar plexus, and I know that there are other people that feel they're connected through their third eye. And what I've also noticed is that they are very different in how they relate to the world, and very different in how their personalities are. And I guess, you know, the biggest thing that I've learned is when you resonate at that place of who you are, you begin to attract those people that are like-minded and similar, have similar ways of expressing who they are. And certainly I found, and ever since, you know, I've really acknowledged and embraced that aspect of myself, you know, it's easier to understand or come from that place. Although I know that, you know, there isn't just one way of getting to where we're going, and we all have different paths, but I certainly resonate with the heart and being open and, you know, open to love and always open regardless of what happens. And as many lessons as we can learn, and I've had a good tough lesson this last few weeks about love, and you know, remaining open has always been my saving grace, because I somehow learned to transcend that at some point, to just say, you know, instead of closing down, which is what usually happens in a crisis or in, you know, in a tragedy, if you stay open, you're open to everything. You're open to all possibilities.
Thank you for sharing that so beautifully and eloquently. I feel that when we keep our hearts open, or I'll just say, as I keep my heart open, I find that there's room for everything when the lessons come harshly or when the lessons come gently. I always pray that they come lovingly, happily, and gently. Sometimes they can't, because I just would miss them. And if my heart's staying in the love, they can come in any way, but the love is still there, and the love can hold all of it. And that's really what my work is. It's about inviting people back to that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely get that from a deep a deep place, and I certainly resonate everything with what you're saying. So why don't we talk a little bit then about when Jesse did come back, and how was that?
Well, I was told to look for a cat with whom I had an affinity. And it wouldn't be Jesse, but I was supposed to find a cat with whom I had an affinity. That was the message Jesse sent. And I found a cat named Shadow. Shadow had moved into the SPCA the day after Jesse disappeared. And Shadow was really sweet. And I was really skeptical that any of this was true, but I so wanted to reunite with Jesse that I was willing to see what happened. And I took Shadow home, and on the way home, I could feel Jesse's soul in the car with me, and it was distinctly evident that Shadow and Jesse were not the same cat. But I took Shadow home, and when I got home, it was extremely clear they were not the same cat. Shadow, so sweet, but just a very different personality. Jesse's always the life of the party. When people are over, he comes and sits in the middle. He walks up and has something to say to each person. And Shadow is very timid and very, very shy, just very different with life, with my home, with me, with everything. So I said, okay, I'm going to have to make peace with that I have a different cat now, because this cat needs to be loved. And I sat down and went into a meditation to find that peace. And I was in that meditation for about an hour, and I saw Shadow jump up and look me in the eyes, and I saw that the soul who was Shadow was going on, and that Jesse's soul that they had agreed was coming into this body.
Wow.
And Jesse looked in my eyes for about an hour. He just looked in them, taking me to this place of eternity where there was no time and space, and affirming that it was him. We were in this place. There was no time. It was eternity. And then after about an hour, I had a thought about who I was. And it was like I was jolted back into I'm me. And it was Jesse. And he did his little circle that he does and mushed against my chest like he does. And then we walked around the house. And he did his little habit, so I would know it was him. When I scratched him, he would lift his leg up to try to scratch me. And when I fed him, if it wasn't his first choice of food, he would give me a tiny little nip on the ankle to let me know. And when I went to the computer, sometimes I would work too hard, so he would unplug the computer, and in his new body he wasn't as big, but he showed me that he was trying really hard to do it. And he just kept making it, any doubt that came, he kept showing me inwardly with a very strong message to my heart, and outwardly with his actions, that it was him. And we were inseparable, and people came over for a seminar the next day, and some people who had never met him, and said, boy, you and that cat have been together forever. And I remember deciding, am I going to tell them this story? Because even though now I've told thousands of people about this, back then I had grown up in Washington, D.C., and I come from a family of lots of lawyers and wonderful people, but this is not the kind of, this would sound like really nuts.
Yeah.
Crazy, like Lori's having a mental break. What happened? But I felt I had to tell these people because it was the truth of my heart, and I felt that what was more important than anything was to share my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that moment, I told them, I saw all these eyes fill up with tears, and then people started to share their own stories. And it was like I had created this whole new world that I had just jumped into of safety to really share, not from my intellect, but from my heart, and share the magic that I had been taught to think was, oh, you know, Lori's over-imaginative, that's woo-woo, that's crazy. And that gave me permission to step back into all the worlds I came from for so many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel grateful for where I grew up and what I learned, because it gave me a sensitivity that people can have all different kinds of viewpoints, and that there's always still a way to draw them back into their love, and that I can share the magic in a way without having to feel worried about what anyone thinks. I don't care, really. Back then I did. That freed me forever. I just know I'm here to share my love and my truth, and if it's good for people to hear, it will open their heart, and if it's not, that's fine. So the whole situation was extremely healing and brought me into wholeness, where this fear of abandonment I had lived with my whole life was washed away in Jesse's returning. He had really taken me through a healing journey.
Wow. It's amazing that, I mean, we go through so much in our lives, and it's amazing that you've learned these lessons through animals, because I think, you know, too many people take our pets for granted and we don't really acknowledge, you know, who they are, let alone that they're even somebody to acknowledge. You know, it's just a pet. It's just something that gives us, oh sure, it gives us unconditional love, and, you know, they're always there, and, you know, but they're just a pet. And I think a lot of people think that way. And I certainly had a profound experience with Jasper in his previous life, which was, his name was Spirit. And he taught me a great deal. And, you know, before he left, in my case, it was actually me putting him down, because he had struggled for 6 years with a bowel problem. So he got hepatitis and he had all sorts of things, but he was in a car accident. So, he was actually in a car accident on the September 11th. And, when I put him down the night before, he showed me a picture of what he would look like when he came back.
Wow.
And yeah, and I felt his spirit go through me before the needle was finished.
Wow.
So it was pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, that was very healing, just knowing, you know, if I ever doubted, you know, I had no reason to doubt at this point.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I do feel the animals are so sacred, and each animal has a way of consciousness that's such a gift. And I see animals waiting for people over and over to listen more deeply, to learn the lessons of love and resonance with everything, with the earth and with the sun, and so patiently doing whatever it takes to get hold of their people. And like you said, so many times people don't understand who these amazing beings are, who have the wisdom, like your Jasper, who was spirit and sent you that message. Jasper knew, you know, that Jasper knew he would come back and how he would come back, and so in touch that he could tell you.
It was pretty, because I don't usually get pictures, and so, I mean, I do now. The more I've built my intuition, the more I've built all of the senses, but I don't usually get a picture, and he was quite clear about, you know, he was going to be pure white, and yeah, it was just, yeah, it was very touching.
Wow.
And so he is, although he does have some black smudges on his head, which makes him very cute.
How did he find you? Jasper.
I went on a trip, and so I put him down July 13th, Friday the 13th last year, and I knew he was going to take a little while to come back, and I went on a retreat in Puerto Vallarta in the end of March and the beginning of April, and right before I went, I just made a note and went, well, no, it's not time yet, is it? And when I came back, I kind of had a bit of a healing happen there as well. So when I came back, I was very introspective and contemplating, and I had invited someone over, and they came in and they said, oh, I was expecting to see a little kitten when I came in. I went, oh, he is back, isn't he? And they said, yeah. So then it was a matter of me looking for him. They had recommended going to the Humane Society. And I went there 3 times, but I just didn't feel he was going to be there. And so I looked on the internet after the third time, and it was a rescue place. And I just, as soon as I saw his picture, I knew it was going to be him.
Wow. I'm so happy for you. That's beautiful. Thinking about, it's reminding me of another reincarnation I got to experience with a client of mine who came in to see if her dog was going to come back. And, you know, a lot of times animals say they'll come back, and a lot of times they say they won't be coming back. That's not what their job is right now. But this, she had a very loving, deep relationship with her dog, and her dog did say she would be coming back, but she was also waiting for this woman to learn a lesson, and the lesson was about peace. And one day, I was passing by the SPCA, and I decided to stop in and give them scholarships for my seminar. And my client, who actually lives 2 hours away, arrived at the SPCA right when I did.
Wow.
And she thought she was supposed to come to the Santa Cruz SPCA for reasons no one can explain. And a dog was there, and we watched angels come in, and her dog came in and took got into that body and went home with her.
Wow.
And I got to be right there. It was like the divine just called us in. It was amazing. Yeah. Or the dog called us in, probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing when that happens. And I knew, then that was kind of the message I was told. It's like you just find the cat that you know is going to be the one that you resonate with, and then the spirit of spirit will come back into it. And
yeah.
And it was pretty interesting, because I was sort of expecting the same reaction or the same response that I got the last time, which the circumstances around me getting spirit were very odd, because I was married to somebody who was very allergic to cats, and for years he'd said no, you know, so I got rats, and you know, I did all sorts of things, and I really enjoyed rats, but they're not exactly the, well, other, let's just say that other people are a little shocked when you, you know, bring out your pet rat.
Uh-huh.
But just one day he just said, he looked at me and he said, okay, you can get a cat. And I was like, I didn't even ask. I was like, what? Okay. And I like found a place like right away. I just went to, I think, like the local veterinarian or pet store, and saw that there was a, you know, an ad for kittens. Phone went there. He was the only one that everybody was, they were all asleep. He was the only one that got up. He came right over to me and was like, okay, this is the one.
Wow.
And so I was sort of expecting the same response, but at the rescue, that there was like 10 kittens, and he was just terrified. As soon as I got him home, he was like a different kitten, but when he was there, he was just absolutely terrified. So he was just clinging to dear life, and it's like, okay, I need to look at you. I can't look at you right now. You're hiding. But yeah, it's clearly, even though he may be quite different than spirit in his personality and stuff, he's much more this time, and I think maybe it's a result of my business or what's happening with interviews, but he's much more comfortable around men, and he's, you know, he's already, you know, practicing his healing abilities and stuff, and it's very cute. Mostly it's the awe factor still, because, you know, he's just terribly cute, but he comes over to everybody and he sleeps on them, and so, you know, he's doing what spirit always used to do, which is just great.
I wanted to mention, because some people who are listening and wondering, how do you speak to animals? Can I learn how? That I do give completely free tickets to my 1, 2, and 3 day seminars in California.
Nice.
And we do have people that fly in now from actually, we've had people from 4 different continents and all over the USA. So the 3 day seminars that are valued at $1,797 and the 1 day is valued at $797. You can come for free. I don't do that with my Hawaii seminars, but here you can come study with me in my home for 1 to 3 days, and
yes.
It's just a gift I give to the world, because I feel it's very valuable for our whole planet to return to honoring the animals. And people who would like those tickets just need to get a hold of me, and they are yours to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say my phone number. It's 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007.
That's lovely of you. Let's talk about, you know, you do a lot of different things. You have 3 different websites. I'm taking that, you know, the one that I get the most email from seems to be Inside the Circle. You know, you're talking a lot about enlightenment. You're talking a lot about animals. I mean, it's really quite lovely. And I also know that you have a lot of messages from Jesse, and those messages are very beautiful and very touching. What kind of a connection do you have with these animals? I mean, it sounds like you can communicate with anything, but typically we have, you know, certain special connections, and I'm assuming with Jesse that you have a special connection. How does that, I mean, because it's different than, you know, other animal communicators. You're specifically, you know, giving really enlightening words of wisdom.
Thank you. My purpose on the planet this lifetime is to assist people in awakening, and Jesse is one of my very, you know, main guides, as his job is to guide me in doing that. And then there's lots of other animals that have been my teachers as well. There are two ravens that when we lived over at Hidden Valley, which is in California, where I first started giving the seminars, would talk to me a lot, and they would come and circle around me and send me messages to give on teleconferences. And one of them would do 3 flips over my head, and they would call me when I needed to come outside and listen to them. And we thought, we did not own this property, but we thought we would just rent it forever, because originally our landlord felt that he would never sell it, and he was happy with us. We were happy with living there. It was very perfect. But things changed for him, and after 3 years, he came over to let us know that he would be selling it. And at that time, I had already become very close to an owl, 3 mm-hmm. hawks, 2 ravens, a hummingbird, deer. I had a lot of friends, animal friends there. So, and we just filled that house with the most amazing energy and been giving seminars there. So it was really upsetting to me, my partner Ray, and Jesse Boy. But the animals, the ravens, told me that they were going to be going with me and to not worry. And I didn't know what they meant. And I just had to trust. And when we moved, shortly after we moved, I was walking down the street and I saw 2 ravens. They were 2 different ravens. And they saw me and they came flying back and circled around me. And I wasn't sure why, because I didn't really know them, but I was very happy about it. And then a few months later, my raven friends came to visit. And apparently the ravens who lived there had told them that the ravens on Hidden Valley had put the word out to all the ravens in town to be on the lookout for us. And they recognized me. And so they were able to explain to their raven friends where we lived. And this really hit home to me how incredibly intelligent animals are. If I had not fully understood before, I understand now. There were 3 hawks that gave me a very, very beautiful lesson of transition. What they did was they would fly over me. They'd spend lots of time with me. They would fly me, so I'd be sitting, and I'd feel like I was flying. They would show me how it feels to fly. And they were taking away lots of attachment I had to anything, whether I knew what it was or not. They were making my body fluid. They were giving me a new experience where I could just feel like glass, like things could float through me. And they were showing me a whole deeper level of peace. And I got in a situation with some producers who approached a bunch of people in Santa Cruz where I live. All of us were kind of getting more well-known. And they approached us and wanted to do these movies and great deals with us. But a bunch of us signed contracts with them. It all looked good. But it all was bad. It didn't turn out good. And so people were in big trouble. One person was almost lost her business. One person was in court. All kinds of bad things were happening. What happened to me was they had all this footage, and it was not footage that I felt could be easily repeated. I felt like I was working up to years to create these DVDs, Anna Miracles, Indie Miracles, and Do a Miracles. And when they came and took the footage. It was like a dream come true, but they were holding my footage hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very upset, and it was late at night. I was sitting on the sofa just really upset. I didn't understand. I said, how could this happen? Why, if I want to give a gift to the world, is it being stopped? It felt huge to me at the time. Mm-hmm. I felt betrayed by life.
Mm-hmm.
And I went outside. It was 11 at night, and one of the hawks was sprawled right in front of me. I had to walk into where he was, and he wasn't alive anymore.
Oh.
And then I got really upset, and my first thought was, oh, my gosh, I've gotten so negative. It killed this hawk, which was really silly. it was like my ego thought that. But then the hawk was there. This hawk came to me in the soul and said, that's not what's happening. What's happening is we're all going through a transition, and you and me are transitioning together. And I will be with you. I'm going to be with you all night and just listen. And all night, all my pain was taken out of my heart. I was feeling happier and happier. The next day, that hawk showed me where to bury his body. And then after I buried it, he said, now is your lesson that you can choose if you would like or not. And it's a lesson of peace. Would you like to be a teacher of peace? Or is your life about peace? And I said, yes. And the hawk said, well, what's more important, world peace or your video footage? And I realized, world peace, you know, it's like the video footage was to generate the peace out into the world. Without the footage, the peace was still there.
Mm.
Without the peace, the footage didn't matter. And mm-hmm. the hawk told me, get in the car and drive down to the office of these producers right now. And I drove down. And I walked in, and I saw one of them, and I realized my only job was to look him in the eyes. I had no agenda. I wasn't trying to get my footage back. It was just to be at peace with him. That was all that mattered. I looked him in the eyes with total peace, and he said, Lori, I've decided to give you back all your footage. Here you go. And he handed it to me. And all the beautiful DVDs got created, but what was much more important was that lesson of what matters. The hawks were teaching me what matters, and what matters is the unconditional peace, just like the unconditional love, and that was my lesson on the unconditional peace.
Wow. What a beautiful lesson. I mean, it sounded hard, and I'm sure it was incredibly difficult at the time, and then it showed you also the illusion that we hold about,
yeah.
you know, that this world and how restricted it is, or how we... you know, make judgments about how things have to unfold, and we try and control everything, and then all of a sudden, when you release it and the illusion is broken, it all manifests in the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, and each time one of those illusions is broken and we let it manifest in the way it was supposed to, what I find more and more is my awareness that who I am is this neutrality. It's just this neutral moment of love, and nothing else that I ever associated to be or thought was my identity is. None of it. It's like I'm really envisioning a new world where communication can be based on everyone knowing that we are just this heart right here now. We can communicate from that, and we have no idea what that will lead to, but we can let go of lots of our old stories of who we are, what we think matters, and just begin to be in the moment of the heart, and from that, great new truths and systems of how to live as a human species on the planet in harmony with nature can be born. Mm-hmm. That's how I see this time, this pivotal time in history.
Wow. Yeah, I would agree with you. Can I ask you, you know, you do the Hawaii, you do, you know, with the dolphins and the whales, what kind of messages are they giving at this time? Because I know that they're, you know, they seem to be from a different dimension, and they seem to be almost the wisdom keepers of this planet.
The dolphins have taught me over and over about unconditional bliss, mm-hmm. and the whales have taught me about a deep devotion and a oneness. The whales have really popped my consciousness into experience of everything is one over and over, and the whales have showed me that everything is made out of colors and tones, and that anything that's problematic, if it's emotional, physical, anything that's problematic is simply a disharmony. And as the colors and tones are changed, everything can come back into harmony. And the whales have taught me that when we think, we actually send colors and tones far out into the universe, which with huge reverberations much farther than we think. So the opportunity to train ourselves to think in thoughts of intention that comes from gratitude mm-hmm. make huge, beautiful repercussions on the planet.
Mm-hmm. I think, that's well said. And I think if anybody had been following the Eckhart Tolle and Oprah series, that certainly was something that I believe was a huge message about how, you know, when we're in negativity or when we're in our ego or when we're in our pain body, we're not just harming ourselves, we're harming the planet and the universe. And when we're in a place of peace and love, and as you say, gratitude, because I think gratitude is the one, when you can get to a place of gratitude, it's almost like you completely open up to a place of joy or place of bliss. And that's the one area that seems to, you know, really transform you.
Yes, and when you can get to a place of surrender, like you were talking about a few moments ago, I just had a really wonderful experience as we were bringing in the whales, as I was speaking of them, and you started talking about Eckhart Tolle, I found that I was dealing with the issue I have of ambition. It's something I'm very consciously dealing with, but I'm having an awareness of my own ego that it's very ambitious, and I'm not making it wrong. Mm. I'm not making it right, but I'm noticing it does cause me pain because it's never satisfied, and no matter what it's achieved, it's never enough. Then there's this other part of me that doesn't even relate to that, that's completely in the wholeness and being content, and I can spend months just observing my ego and seeing it almost like a fingernail. It's that little part of me. But then it can just take over. And when you said Eckhart Tolle, jealousy arose for me. Mm. And it came up like, how come, you know, I've been seeing my messages and hardly anyone's listening? Well, actually, a lot of people are listening.
I think a lot of people are listening.
But right when that thought came into my mind, the whale just took me into this place of complete awareness that everything is perfect and that I am sharing my message and I'm sharing it right now and it's being heard and everything is perfectly in divine order, and that's the power of the whales. They can take us there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, that's and I can appreciate what you're saying, and I think getting out of our ego and just acknowledging that we're all here working together to try and share the same message and the same opportunity for people to really get it, to really to understand that, you know, the ego and the pain that we are stuck in when we're in the illusion of this third dimension, that, you know, we just need to understand that, you know, heaven is supposed to be here in our hearts, and it's not some illusionary place that's above us, or, you know, it's here, it's now, and it's, you know, and that is the message you're giving. You're talking all about enlightenment, and you're bringing in a different aspect. You're bringing in, you know, how the planet is communicating, because this is something that, you know, very few people are aware of, and everything is part of the oneness. So the fact that you connect in with this and the messages that you're getting and the love that comes through your messages or through Jesse's messages, it's very wonderful and very beautiful.
Thank you. What's so amazing to me and something that I feel very fond of is the opportunity to speak the truth of what's really happening in the moment in my most human self. And it's always when I speak that truth, rather than making my ego wrong, but just noticing it, sharing it, but sharing it for what it is, not getting lost in it and making it reality, something amazing seems to happen right in that moment. So I always like to invite everyone to share from that place. One thing that I found as a teacher, because I do that and it's unusual, is that while for some people it's very moving and touching, and thank you for accepting me being that way on your radio show, I really appreciate that, that for other people, it gives a situation where sometimes people get distracted, like they'll be like, oh, well, Lori, let's fix it, or, you know, people will want to fix me or give me advice, but what I want people to know is when I'm sharing from something that hurt, like when my heart broke because my videos weren't going out, or a minute ago when my ambition came up, or when I lost my cat who came back, that's my heart breaking open. And that's God, goddesses, any name is fine with me. Magdalene, Jesus, Kuan Yin, Buddha, Radha, Krishna, none of it, atheism, I accept them all, Allah, Shekinah, they're all beautiful to me. That's my heart breaking open, and my heart's breaking open in a pain that's going to its next level of joy and bliss. So to me, it's like a flower blooming, and I accept all of it, and to me, that's the human opportunity, because we struggle, and then if we really be so present with our heart in the struggle, it opens us back to the unconditional love and joy and peace and bliss. But it never comes from denying, in my experience, that struggle, that the human struggle comes to teach us. And to me, that's beautiful. That's our heart opening.
And I guess that's the message, isn't it? That's the thing about staying open and being honest, because I think, you know, especially a lot of people in the spiritual community, or they're, you know, they're reading these kind of books and they're thinking, oh, you know, it's bad to have, you know, these ego emotions, and it's not bad. It's we're human, and it's perfect. And if you can really be okay with it and accept it, then that is when the healing can take us.
Yes, it's so true.
I wanted to ask a little bit more about the bliss that the dolphins bring.
Their vibration is tuned to bliss. So they have the full spectrum of emotions that we do. They can feel joy. They can feel anger. They can feel compassion. They can feel jealousy. A friend of mine, Dean Burnell, lived with Jojo the dolphin for 20 years. So he knows this dolphin inside and out. They're best friends. And he said, you know, Jojo feels everything. But what is interesting to me, what I find when I bring the people to swim with the dolphins, is that it's all contained in bliss. So they're not like, oh, I'm sad, this is a problem. Oh, I'm happy, this is good. They're going through life, but it's all in bliss. And once you swim with the dolphins, you find out that's just the truth, and it stays with you. Your cells are different. They're changed. And scientists would confirm that the dolphins are emanating a sonar that does that. So until people swim with the dolphins, I don't know if it's explainable, but there's a different kind of energy. And once you're in it, it just takes you, and you feel bliss that's unique in my experience. And I've watched many, many people go through this when I take them to Hawaii.
I had an opportunity to swim with dolphins last year, and it was in a more contained place, although it was a rescue for dolphins. So it felt kind of nice, and it certainly was an incredible experience. And I agree that there is, you know, it's like they're just in joy all the time. Like they're so playful and so happy, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And we can be that way too, and they're so happy and willing to show us how.
I guess that's it, you know, we get so caught up in our human experience that we forget that we actually have a choice in how we express ourselves and how we experience life.
Yeah, we really do. And the only thing I found that really, really keeps me in a state of bliss is being here now and not identifying with any identities. I did a prayer a few years ago. It just arose spontaneously from my heart. Please take away any identities that are not mine. After that, for a year and a half, I went through hell. All kinds of most horrible things happened. It was like a tragedy story. It was like a soap opera. I can't believe the things that happened. But
kind
when
of
I
the
came
be
out,
careful what you ask for kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Since then, when I make a prayer, I ask that it come in a happy, gentle, fun. But I'm so happy of what I went through, because when I came out of it, it was truly like being in a washing machine for a year and a half. It was just like, I got it. Like, I don't, there really is no identity but now. There really is no identity but the core of the universe speaking through the earth to the ocean to the human through my heart, and the sun doing the same thing. And that's identity. And it's hard to put into words, but how I somatically experience my existence is completely different than before I made that prayer.
And so you're really taking on quite a beautiful message that you're wanting to deliver to the world, because you are giving a lot of information on your websites, and you are, you know, really trying to connect with people so that they understand. Does Jesse have any messages that he would like to share?
Yes, he's here right now, and he's saying to give whatever is the truth to you. So give from your soul and heart, from whatever is true to you, and that's really what your life story and purpose is about. It's about being on the planet to give that, and as you give that whatever truth is to you, you fulfill yourself and you feed many, many beings.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that many people feel lost at this time, and if you're true to who you are and you share it, it gives the world hope and courage for themselves. So he encourages everyone to do that in whatever way is uniquely authentic to them.
Hmm. I'm trying to take in this and understand it. I think there are a lot of people that may have difficulty, you know, understanding or being aware enough to know what their heart. I think a lot of times we, you know, through discouragement and through life, we sort of learn to close that down. Does he have any ways of us, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear, but when you said that, Jesse was crying a little bit. That means he feels very sad about that people feel like that, and he's feeling a lot of compassion. And how people can understand this in most simple form is what we were speaking of before, is simply they can focus on what they are grateful for, and they can share that with others. And from that gratitude, you begin to find your own unique heart and voice. But we don't need to make it that complicated. If people, like we had mentioned before, simply focus on whatever they are grateful about and share that gratitude with others, something magic will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something simple will happen. Something good will happen. Something good will be felt.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. And what about Jasper? Does he have any messages he'd like to share?
I'm going to talk to him just a minute. Well, you know, he's really into the feet.
Okay, he makes a lot of noise for a little kitten.
He feels it's very important, and I'm going to take his advice, that we listen to our feet, because our feet is our connecting point to the earth.
Hmm.
And he says that the earth is giving huge messages right now.
I bet.
And the earth can comfort us, but we must be able to hear that, and we must be able to listen to everything the earth is saying. And it's from really tuning into our feet that we can do that. And just a minute, he's saying something else now. He's just expressing his excitement. He's happy about, he's happy that you and I connected.
Mm.
And he has a lot of gleefulness. He's just sharing that. And he's sharing about the strength that he and you share together and how the two of you are like a light emanating out this great light into the universe through your work and your, not only your radio show, but all of your work. So he's simply sharing about that.
Aw. Aw, yeah. I love him. But he knows that. Probably because I tell him about 100 times a day. But is there anything that you would like to, you know, tell people about that you're doing or that you're, you know, that you're working on? Or
yeah, thank you. I do want to reiterate that I take people to Hawaii for marvelous trips, where some of the trips we swim with dolphins, all of them we open up more and more to our heart. They're really like being in a sanctuary where you just go away from everyone and everything for 5, 10, or 15 days, your choice, and you become saturated with the love, the peace, the joy, and you get assistance to break through your barriers and change any self-defeating habits and create miracles and learn how to talk to the animals and all of life. And I take people to Mexico to swim with the whales. And once again, people are more than welcome to come to California and do one of my seminars free. And people who want to do individual sessions with me and have me speak to your animal or just speak to your guides or your inner heart are more than welcome to give me a call at 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. Or visit my website. It's annamiracles.com. That's A-N-I-Miracles.com. AnnaMiracles.com.
And that really is about the animals, but you also have Inside the Circle.
And the lovely Graham over in England and I met over the internet.
Okay.
Because he was doing some work for Penelope Smith, a friend of mine, and someone whose work I feel I've greatly benefited from. I always think of her as the grandmother of animal communication, that all of us that are animal communicators today are so because of her being on the frontier all those years ago. And so he's created Inside the Circle, and that's a membership site for people who want to get messages every day and training materials, and that's insidethecircle.com. Insidethecircle.com. It's actually inside the-circle.com.
So, but it is you.
It's a website that features my work.
Nice. Because he's so taken by who you are.
Yeah, he's been like an angel who just came in to spread my work.
How lovely is that? And you know, there is a lot of stuff, and you also have books. Did you want to talk about?
All kinds of books, DVDs. Yeah. I would really advise people to get on annamiracles.com because it goes through every book, DVD, workbook. There's about relationships between people and animals. I would go right to the website because there's just so many now, and then people can read about all of them. I'm going to spell it again because it's kind of unusual. It's A as in apple, N as in Nancy, I as in igloo, miracles.com, and that's where all my products are.
Yeah, and, I see there's lots of information here. Yes.
Yeah, and over at insidethecircle.com is where you can get products also and get a daily inspirational message and hear special tape recordings and all kinds of good stuff.
Wow. Oh, I get the feeling that someday we're going to meet.
Yeah, I'm very happy I found you. You're such a deep, loving, sweet soul. I feel such a... it's like a kinship with you.
Definitely.
Yes. It's really easy to like pick up and talk like we've had many conversations, although we really haven't had any before.
No, this is the first.
Yeah, thank you so much. What a wonderful radio show to be on. I feel very blessed.
Well, I think I'd like to have you back.
I'd love to come back.
Good.
I would love to.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, unless Jesse has some more messages or you want to say something else, we can, you got a couple minutes.
Okay, let me ask Jesse.
Okay.
A second. No, Jesse said that even though he is a universal teacher, he's also my son, and that we need to go outside and play.
Well, I can understand that.
He actually, I think he does this quite purposely, because he'll make comments like that, He'll bring everything right back down to real human earth side constantly at the seminar, too. So I think he's saying that what he's really wanting me to say to people, I'm getting it now, is that we're talking in very universal kind of big cosmic feeling terms, but this can all come right down into reality. We can be washing dishes and be feeling gratitude. We can be driving in our car and by focusing on gratitude be in a state of love. We can be writing a check, and as we write it, giving thanks that we have money. So whatever we're doing in the world is the container for how all this, what can sound quite lofty, comes into matter, how spirit comes into matter and becomes real and becomes ours. So Jesse's inviting everyone to take a few practices, the practice of giving thanks in whatever you're doing, bringing your thoughts there, the practice of... Oh, Jesse, he wants me to tell everyone, do things that make you feel good. I tend to, I can get a little bit too much into work, and Jesse's really values pleasure, and he reminds me, and I love that about him. So he said, just make this really simple. If you like going for walks, go for walks, and then you'll feel good, and then you'll be more inclined to be grateful. he's reminding me how simple this is. Just
really
have fun.
Simple.
That's what this is about. Have fun, everybody.
Well, there you go. You've heard it from Jesse. So stop making this so difficult and just have fun. Well, it's been a great pleasure and a great honor, and thank Jesse as well, because I'm, you know, very pleased to have met his deepness in the messages he's sharing and the love he's sharing, because it's quite beautiful.
Thank you. And he says that he sees you as a very, very bright light, and that he feels the grace that's coming through your work. Mm-hmm. And he says that grace is coming through your work into the Garden of Eden you're creating on our planet, and he wants to thank you. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't be afraid of anything. You're doing everything really well and from the center of your heart, and many good births are coming from it for you everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a show. And thank you very much. And we'll have you back soon.
Great.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.